Good morning, everyone. Today's passage is Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, today's passage is on page 660. Again, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer once again and ask his help as we hear from his word. Almighty God, as we come to your word, would you breathe new life in us? Would you use this word this morning to breathe new life into our church? Would you cause this word to be true of us? Would you cause it to come alive in us so that we might become the people you have made us to be? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you're familiar with the unofficial definition of insanity. Go something like this. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different result. Well, if you've been with us over the last 6 weeks, you might be tempted to think that about this story. And I say that because we're about two-thirds of the way through this series. We're walking through the whole story of the Bible from cover to cover in about 10 texts. And if you've been here, if you haven't, this is a good catch-up for you. But if you've been here, you may have noticed that the same thing keeps happening over and over again. And just go back to the beginning. God puts his first two people in a garden so that they can be blessed by it and rule over it, all while they enjoy a special relationship with him. And almost immediately, they rebel against God and they break the relationship. The story could have ended there, but it continues on. So God makes a special relationship with this guy, Abraham, and all of Abraham's children. Such a special relationship. That was the whole purpose why he rescued the children of Abraham from slavery in Egypt. Remember, he ripped apart the sea and he led them out as his own people so that they could worship him and enjoy a special relationship to him. But just as soon as they went free, just as soon as they got to the other side, they went and broke the relationship. So eventually God gave them a king who understood what it meant to have a real relationship with God, to love God with his whole heart. This is King David, and God made yet another promise. He promised that one of David's sons would sit on the throne of God's kingdom forever, so long as that king tended to his relationship with God. And the very next king after King David, King David's own son, Solomon, the wisest human king, goes the way of the same old pattern, the same old story. And once again, you guessed it, he broke the relationship. And so this morning we come to the part of this story where God makes yet another relationship promise. He says, okay, I'm going to make another covenant. I'm going to make another special relationship. And listen, if you've been following this thing, you can't help but think, okay, here we go again. I mean, we've seen this story before. What's going to make this one any different from all the rest? What's going to be different this time? Folks, that's just it. You see, the whole point of what God is saying to us here, the whole point of what God is speaking to us through his prophet Jeremiah, he's making this promise that he is going to do something new. He's going to do something that he hasn't done yet before. He's going to do something that's going to break the same old pattern. And what God promised to do for them, God is able to do for me and you. I mean, I wonder if you ever feel like the story that you're in is anything like the story that we've been in. One where it seems like the same old thing keeps repeating. I mean, I wonder how many of us, we make the same old mistakes again and again, and we end up with the same old disappointing results. Folks, the promise from the prophet right here is that God is able to break that pattern with something new. Here's how. God is able to bring you into a new relationship with himself. Folks, that is exactly how God is promising to break that same old negative pattern, to break the same old pattern of mistake and brokenness and disappointment. God's answer to how to break the pattern in your life is with a relationship, but not just yet another relationship like all the ones that we've seen so far in the past. God is promising, God is able to bring you into a new kind of relationship. And listen, please don't be underwhelmed by that. This is the key. This is God's answer to experience something new that you've been looking for in your life. And I want to show that to you by showing you four things about this new relationship. And it's the newness of this that I want to press into. So, four things about this new relationship. First, it's unbreakable. Folks, this new relationship that God is able to bring you into with himself, this is an unbreakable relationship. And folks, that is the whole point of this promise. That's why God himself says right there, verse 31 and 32, that he's going to make this new covenant, this new special relationship with a special people. And the reason why this one is going to be new, the reason why this one's not going to be like the old ones, is that this one is not going to be breakable. That breakableness, that breakability is the primary thing that characterized all those old relationships. That's what God says right here. He says, they're not going to break this one. They're not going to break this one like they broke the old one when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, when I led them by the hand, when I was like their husband. I think that word there, that husband language, actually gives us a little bit of a key to how we understand the connection between covenant and this idea of relationship. I mean, covenant is not really a term that we like to use a lot in our day, but I think marriage is probably the greatest example where we still sometimes use that language. I mean, marriage is definitionally supposed to be a covenant relationship. It's a special commitment, and it defines the relationship between two parties. It's supposed to be unbreakable. It's supposed to be till death do us part. That's kind of the whole point. Of course, we know that's not really what happens. And we hear that all the time. We hear about the divorce rate is something around like 50%. I mean, just think about that for a moment. Half of all the till death do us parts won't last as long as they both shall live. But here's the thing. Even with those numbers, right? Even with all those numbers, most marriages at least start out nice. I mean, they at least kind of start out on the, I mean, they may not end and on a good note, but they at least kind of start out on a good note. And we have that whole thing called the honeymoon period. In fact, we even apply that phrase of honeymoon period to other things that aren't marriages, because at least usually in marriage, there's that honeymoon period. Well, listen, the reason why I'm bringing this up, this isn't really about marriage, but it's using marriage as an illustration for the relationship we have with God. And what was so crazy about that old relationship he had with his people, what was so crazy about that old covenant relationship that they broke, is that they didn't even have a honeymoon period. I mean, here the Lord says he was their husband. He led them through the Red Sea. It was like he was walking down the aisle with them when he rescued them from slavery in Egypt. But before the ink was even dry on the marriage license, or I guess if you want to say it this way, when Moses was up on the mountain and God gave him the contract, the covenant deal, it was chiseled in stone on the two tablets before the dust could even be swept off the stone. His people had already broken the relationship. I mean, Moses came down, he looked around, they were worshiping a golden calf, he drops these two things on the ground and they shatter in pieces. A picture of the broken relationship between God and his perpetually unfaithful bride. But the reason why I'm leaning into all this language here about breaking the covenant and God being the husband is I say all this because of how unlikely it is, how seemingly impossible it is that God could actually bring about a new relationship with us, with people, with human beings. It seems so unlikely that he could actually bring about a relationship with us that we would not break. But that is the very thing that God is promising to do. He's saying that he can bring us into a relationship that will be absolutely unbreakable. I mean, does that just seem impossible to you? I mean, I think it probably should. I mean, just think about the best relationships you have in your life, the ones you care about most. Inevitably, you and I always do something that contributes to the breakdown of the relationship. And so how on earth, if you and I always do that, and if you and I are going to be in this relationship, how is this going to be unbreakable? Well, here's how. This new relationship isn't just unbreakable. It's transformational. Folks, this new relationship that God is able to bring you into with himself is defined by a new you. It is defined by a brand new you. That's exactly what he's saying here right there in verse 33. He says, "For this is the covenant, declares the Lord." This is God speaking to us. This is the relationship. Here it is. Ready? "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts." Listen, sometimes, and here I'm speaking to those of you who are just somewhat familiar with this story. I think sometimes we imagine the difference between the old relationship that God has with his people, the old covenant, and the new relationship God has with his people, the new covenant. I think sometimes we imagine the difference between those things is that in the old, God had a law. And in the new one, he doesn't have a law. In the old, God really cared about what you were like. And the whole reason why this new one's going to be unbreakable is because in the new one, well, God doesn't really care so much about what you're like. Whew. Folks, that is not the case at all. It's not the difference between law and lawlessness. It's the difference between an external law and an internal law. I mean, listen, the problem with the external law, the problem with the old, is that you could write that thing down as much as you want. You could chisel it in stone. You could write it again and again on scroll after scroll, page after page, book after book. You could rewrite it as many times as you wanted, but that did you no good if you had a heart that didn't actually care about what it said. And folks, they did do that. They did write it down. I mean, they wrote this thing down again and again and again like it was going out of style. But what makes this relationship so different? What makes this new thing that God is saying he is able to do, what makes this so different is that it's not just writing stuff down over and over again. He is going to write something down inside your very heart. I mean, picture this. It's like God is taking your heart out of you and holding it in his hand, and he is tattooing, permanently writing on your heart. Not just some written code, not just a rule book that you'll be able to memorize better, but he's pressing it in to the very volitional desire center of your entire being. So that all of a sudden you begin to love different things. You begin to actually want different things, and you actually care about not breaking this relationship. Folks, and Jeremiah is not the only one to tell us about this. There's another prophet, a guy by the name of Ezekiel, who talks about this same new relationship in a similar way, only there it's not just God kind of writing on our hearts. He's performing a full-on heart surgery. He says this in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, talking about the same new covenant, the same new relationship. He says, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules, or to obey my, I think a better translation, it's in your footnote, obey my just decrees. Folks, it's hard to get more radically transformational than an entire new heart transplant. I mean, this is a totally new you. Look, the reason why this covenant is going to be unbreakable, it's not because God's all of a sudden never going to break it. That was never in question. He's going to make you so that you can never break it. And for that to happen, you need to be a new you. And listen, don't be offended by that. Please don't be offended. You might be sitting here thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I like me. I don't want to be somebody new. I like who I am. Well, I could respond to you by pointing back to this story, but I actually want to respond to that potential objection by pointing you to your own story. I just want to ask you the question. Do you really? Do you really like who you are? I mean, do you really actually like everything about you now? I find it hard to believe that that could be true in a world of full of promises of self-improvement. I mean, if we like ourselves so much, why are we spending so much money to be different? I just learned this past week. The global self-improvement market, so this is how much money we spend as a globe every single year to trying to make ourselves into some version of ourselves that we're not. The global self-improvement market in 2021 was valued at $41.81 billion. I mean, we're spending all sorts of money to be the kind of people that we are presently not. I mean, we're dropping cash on things like gym equipment, to self-improvement books, all in this amazing effort to become some version of ourselves that we're not. And yet, how's it working out? Our stair climbers become expensive laundry drying places. And those so-called atomic habits end up being like little firecrackers that just pop and fizzle as we end up the same version of ourselves at the end of the day. And listen, you may object even further. You say, well, you know what? That's part of the whole problem. What we really need to do is to stop trying to change ourselves. What we really need to do is just learn how to love ourselves totally, unconditionally, exactly how we are. But here's the thing. For you to do that, you would need to become a different version of yourself. Have you ever wondered why? It is so hard for us. It is impossible for us to love ourselves exactly how we are. Maybe the best explanation is that we know something is off. God's saying he can do something about it. He's saying, I can actually bring about a change in you at the very level of your inner being. It is a new you. And it is the definition of what this new relationship is all about. But here's the thing, folks. It's not that God is just saying, well, here, I can help you be a new you just so that you can go on and just enjoy being a new you. No, God wants to get something done in you. He wants to make you a new you so that you can enjoy him. You see, this new relationship that God is able to bring you into with himself, it's not just unbreakable. It's not just transformational. But this thing is personal. It's deeply personal. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, duh, Mike, that's what a relationship is, right? I mean, by definition, if this is a new relationship, then it must be personal, but not so fast. Because here's the thing. The old one, this old covenant that this new one's not going to be like, this old deal, it was a relationship, but it wasn't a personal relationship. That's why he says there, beginning in the middle of verse 33, he says, the result of this whole thing, the result of this new relationship, the result of you getting this new heart is this: I will be their God and they shall be my people. And again, that might sound like an obvious statement, like, yeah, okay, God's God and we're human beings. That's far more than just this simple observation about an objective reality that already exists. No, what God is saying here is that in this new relationship, everyone who's in this one, everyone who's in this covenant, everyone who's in this new relationship is going to personally acknowledge me as their God, and I am going to personally acknowledge them as my people. And folks, the reason why that's so different is because in the old one, in the old covenant, in the old relationship, I mean, how did you get into that one? The way you got into the old covenant was simply by being born into it. I mean, you were born as part of a special nation, the nation of Israel. You were born into a covenant people, and so you were born into a people that had a special relationship with the God that you could not even know yet. And so it required that people had to teach you. Even though you were already in the relationship, it required that people had to teach you about that God that you were already in some kind of a relationship with. But what God is saying is, no. In this new relationship, it is going to be completely different. No one's getting in this relationship without knowing me. It is no longer going to be the case that anyone, that no neighbor is going to have to teach their neighbor to know the Lord. He says every single one in this new covenant, everyone who is in this new relationship, they will all know me personally, from the greatest to the least. Because God is able to bring you into a new relationship with himself. And the result of that is that you are going to have a real personal knowledge of him as your God. Listen, the reality is, every single one of us has some kind of relationship with God. I mean, whether you even acknowledge that or not, whether you want that to be true or not, that doesn't matter. Every one of us has some kind of relationship with God. The question is it a personal one like this? If I can put myself out there to illustrate, this is that time of year, you know, preseason games are going on. We all know football season's coming. So this is that time of year where all my friends like to renew their fun of making fun of me for liking a certain quarterback too much. A certain quarterback with the number 12. No, not that one. A different quarterback with the number 12. One Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. Let me tell you something. I have a relationship with Tom Brady. It is a relationship defined as me being a fan and him being a quarterback. And listen, he's been the quarterback of the teams I have rooted for like almost my entire life. Okay, that's not true. But more than half of my life. And I can tell you all sorts of things about him. I can tell you about his family. I can tell you about his workout routine. I can tell you about how he likes to eat. I even shook his hand once. But I'm telling you right now, if you call him up and you mention my name, he's going to tell you, I have no idea who that is. And I promise you, he doesn't really know me. Here's the thing, folks. Right now, if I were to call God, if I were to have a conversation with God and mention you and say, hey, do you know so-and-so? He would say, oh yeah, I know so-and-so. I know him and I know him well. The question is, does so-and-so know me? Folks, the nature of this new relationship that God is able to bring you into is one where you don't just kind of acknowledge that God is there. You don't just sort of know stuff about God. You actually know him personally. And if someone were to ask him, he'd vouch for you. That's the kind of relationship that God is able to bring us into. But one last thing, one last mark of this relationship I want to put before you. It's not just unbreakable. It's not just transformational. It's not just personal. It's forgetful. Which might sound a little bit strange. I know forgetfulness is not typically something that we think about as being a positive thing, especially for relationships. I mean, if you forget someone's name, you forget someone's birthday, you forget some of the conversations you have with someone, that's usually not a good thing. But here in this instance, I tell you, it is a really good thing, because here in this new relationship, this new relationship that God's able to bring you into with himself here, it's all the things about you that you would like to be forgotten. All the things about you that you would like everyone to forget. Those things, folks, those things will be forgotten. And not just forgotten, they will be forgiven and forgotten. That's right there in the very last line of verse 34. And folks, this is the basis of this whole thing. This is the grounds of the entirety of this whole new relationship. Everything in this new relationship is built on this. God says to anyone who would hear, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. I mean, how is it that a people with a track record like ours, I mean, the track record that we have seen all throughout the story where we just keep breaking things over and over again, I mean, how is it that God can actually be in a real, lasting, personal relationship with us? This is how. Not only does he reach inside of us and rewrite our hearts, but he reaches back in our history and he rewrites our entire story. Every harmful or selfish act, every careless, insensitive, harsh, or biting word, even every evil thought, wiped clean, never to be remembered again by the one who really has the ability to keep track. Folks, this is how God builds relationships. This past week, kind of have some exciting family news. This past week in our house, we took a very big step and adopted a dog. We adopted a dog. We got him from a rescue. And there's this funny thing that happened. So, you know, he came from a puppy mill, which always puts a weird picture in your head. I think of, like, these, like, gears turning, like, puppy mill, and that's not what it is. It's just a place that overbreeds dogs and doesn't take good care of them, and so they don't really have a chance at having a good home. It has nothing to do with the sermon, but that's what a puppy mill is. So anyway, but when you rescue a dog from a setting like this, they always tell you, oh, these, you know, the first few days, how the whole relationship gets off the ground is really important. I'm thinking, really? My relationship with this dog, with the dog, is really important. So, oh yeah, it's really important. You've got to be really careful. I mean, you've got to establish trust and build trust. I mean, you can't make too many fast motions at them. You can't ask too much of them. You've got to do all these different things to try to build trust to establish a relationship with a dog. And I have to be honest, like, part of me, like, I mean, I like this dog and we're going to keep it and it's really blessed our family already. But part of me is like, what do you mean establish the relationship with a dog? It's a dog. We're the humans. That's the relationship. But we've been seeing, even these first few days, how it can be important. We've got to establish trust with this dog. Well, listen. How's this for establishing trustworthiness in a relationship between unequals? How's this for establishing trust with a people who come from a broken background? We rebel, we don't listen, we bring all the baggage to the relationship, and God invites us into that relationship anyway, and the primary thing he does to begin and launch that relationship, the very thing he does, is to take everything that would put you in conflict with him in the first place, everything that you might do against him, he takes all of it, and he forgives it. He gets rid of it. And folks, he gets rid of it and promises you that he will never bring it back up and hold it over your head again. And folks, he has done this at great cost to himself. This isn't him just saying, oh, okay, I guess I'll have to just kind of get my mind wrapped around and do some mental gymnastics where I try to forget everything that this people has done against me. No, he is committed to us, and he is committed to forgive our sins and remember them no more at great cost to himself. He accomplished this by sending his very own son to take all of those sins onto himself and to bear them on the cross, where he paid them in full and where they will never be brought back and used against us in this relationship ever again. Folks, maybe you notice that all throughout this passage, I've been talking about what God is able to do. All this stuff in Jeremiah is yet future for him. Jeremiah is pointing to a point in the future. But folks, we can actually look back to a point in the past where God made good on this promise by sending his son Jesus to get this relationship done. And not just the forgiveness of sins, but Jesus is the one who gets all of this done. Jesus prayed as much right before he went to that cross, as he was praying for us, for you and me as his followers. He prayed this prayer to God, and in that prayer, he said this. He said, "This is eternal life." He's speaking to his Father in heaven. "That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Church, through his Son, Jesus, God is able to bring you into a new relationship with himself. In Christ, all of your sins can be totally forgiven. In Christ, you can have a real personal knowledge of God through Jesus. Your life can actually be changed inside out. And through Jesus, you can have this relationship that will last forever. Listen, if you're here this morning and this is not true of you, I just want you to know that it can be. God is able to bring you into a new relationship with himself, and all you have to do to enter into that relationship, listen, I don't want to wrongly sell this to you. If you want to enter into that relationship, buckle up. Jesus will take you just as you are, but he's not going to leave you just as you are. But if you want in on that relationship, all you have to do is come to him, to Jesus, and give your life to him. Trust me, he's going to do a better job with it anyway. But I know that for many of us here in the room, I mean, maybe even most of us here in the room, this is something that you would say has already happened. I mean, if you're a Christian, if you have trusted in Christ, if you've given your life to Jesus, this has already happened to you. You are already in this new covenant relationship. But you know what? There is still a sense in which God is able to bring you into a new relationship today. Not in the sense of this being true for the first time today, but in the sense that I think there are many of us who need to be seriously reminded of this today. I mean, how many of us live like we're really in this new relationship? I mean, if you actually lived every day of your life, I mean, and you've been equipped with the ability to, you've been given a new heart, and if you actually woke up and lived every single day of your life with the reality of this new relationship, then perhaps maybe you wouldn't fret the way that you do. Perhaps maybe you wouldn't have quite the anxiety that you sometimes have. And perhaps maybe you would not continue to get tripped up by the same old sins in the same old patterns that keep repeating themselves again and again and again. I mean, maybe it's just that you just don't realize all that you have in Christ. So I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you today. Let this be the day where you renew this new relationship. Let today be the day where you renew your relationship to the one who wedded you to himself. And listen, maybe you're thinking to yourself, man, I do think like that sometimes, and I do try, and I am aware, and I love Christ, and I know I have faith in my heart, and I want this relationship to go like what you're talking about. I want this to be a good relationship characterized by my loving God and walking in his ways, but it is just so hard. I know. And so I want to be clear about something. I'll put this to you before we close. Listen. This relationship that God is able to bring us into, even now in this life, it's not going to be perfect in this life. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight, and sometimes I think we don't even try. We throw in the towel before we've even begun. So we need to fight. But listen, it's going to be a fight. You're never going to be perfect in this life. But take heart. Because there is going to be a day when this thing will be perfect. There is going to be a day when you won't sin anymore, ever again. There is going to be a day when you will know God more personally than you could ever imagine, because you will know him face to face. And on that day, you won't just have a new heart, you'll have a new everything. And you'll have it forever. Nothing will ever be able to break it or change it or take it away. Let's listen to these words at the end of the Bible. Revelation 21 says this. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Church, that's you and me. Let us be a people who live like we're in relationship with that God. Let's pray. Lord, now we desire to respond to you in light of what you have done in Christ for us so that we can know you. God, would you help us even in these moments to respond by opening up our hearts to you in worship. God, would we hold nothing back as we seek to know you? We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Church, let's stand and sing.